the politics of immigration.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Immigration reform is a touchy subject in this nation of immigrants. Today, the House votes on a dramatic bill that would make it a federal crime to live in the U.S. without the right papers. It tightens border security and requires companies to verify that all of their workers are legal. The Republican measure defies President Bush's call for a guest worker program, and it really upsets one of the party's core supporters, the business lobby. Gretchen Cook has more.
The bill requires employers to vouch for their workers' legal status or face fines of up to $5,000. Businesses which depend heavily on immigrant workers warn the bill could spell their ruin.
Fruit and vegetable producers will essentially be out of business because their workforce will be virtually dried up.
That's Ray Gilmer with the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association. He says one problem with the bill is that many workers use fraudulent papers that employers don't have the legal right to challenge. He says any reform bill must offer a stopgap solution, like President Bush's guest worker program. That allows illegals to work in U.S. jobs on a temporary basis. The Senate takes up immigration first thing when it returns in January. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
Gay rights groups met with leaders at Ford this week and got what they wanted. The carmaker says it'll advertise all of its brands in gay publications next year. That's after Ford's Jaguar and Land Rover divisions decided to pull their specific ads from gay magazines. One of the vehicles Ford will be spotlighting in 2006 is an extra-large SUV. Hello, gas prices. It really begs the question, what in the world are they thinking? Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
The bigger they come, the harder they fall. That's been the case for the supersized SUV. Its sales are down by as much as 20% this year. In fact, Wall Street analysts named over-reliance on SUV sales as the Achilles heel of Ford and General Motors' business plans. A surge in gas prices, along with environmental and safety concerns, have all contributed to slumping sales. So why release a new SUV now? Because those behemoths still bring home the bacon, says Business Week's Detroit bureau chief David Welch.
These large SUVs sell for pretty well equipped, well over $40,000. So even if they only sell a few of them, it's pretty good money for Ford.
Welch says U.S. automakers need to start focusing on passenger cars, a traditional weak spot. He says SUV popularity could come back if gas prices drop, but he doesn't expect a return to the supersized sales of the past 5 years. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
I'm sure this slogan rings a bell, no more late fees. Well, guess what? They're back. Blockbuster stores in several states have started charging the late penalties again. The company says it leaves the issue to individual franchise owners, and some of them in Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee evidently decided they didn't like the slogan very much. Blue chippers rallied. Apple weighed on tech stocks. The Dow climbed almost 60 points to 10,883. The S&P 500 index gained 5 to a 4.5-year high. The tech-heavy NASDAQ fell 2 points to close at 2,262. Gold continues its free fall today. It's at 502 an ounce. Monday it was trading at 543. This is Marketplace. I bet you've been thinking, we really need more money featuring dead presidents. Well, Congress wants to give you some coins. Marketplace's Tess Viglin reports.
They must be proposing this because dollar coins have been such a hit. Americans love them. Well, maybe not. But we sure have loved all those state quarters to the tune of about $4 billion for the U.S. Mint. So maybe we'll finally embrace non-paper dollars if they have different pictures, too. David Sklo is with the American Numismatic Association.
They want to bring something out that's not just the same dollar that they're going to strike hundreds of millions of, but they're going to do 4 a year, and they're going to try to perk the interest of the public in the actual coins themselves.
If the president signs this bill, George Washington would get an upgrade from the quarter he currently resides on, and the mint would go in order from there. The bill also calls for the creation of $10 coins with images of former first ladies. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. And by Network Solutions, helping individuals and businesses of all sizes grow on the web with hosting, design, domains, and online marketing solutions. NetworkSolutions.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Used to be that the best and brightest from developing countries would come to America for college. They'd stay and take jobs. That still happens, but more often now, those folks are staying home and going to school. Personal finance expert Chris Farrell says, like U.S. companies, universities have a lot more overseas competition now.
You know, universities were the crown jewel of the American economy. It's where so much of our brain power got degrees, and a lot of our innovation and technological advances came out of our universities. And really, bright students from all over the world came here to get educated. Well, what's happening right now is that the university structure is spreading rapidly throughout the developing world. And let me just give you one number. 1900, there were about 500,000 or, you know, somewhere around 1% of the, what should we call it, the relevant age group, the sort of 18, 19, 20-year-olds were going to college. It's now 100 million students, more than 100 million students, about 20%.
Are these universities in the developing countries emulating the American model of the university, or is it something different?
Well, you know, America obviously didn't invent the university, but since the 1960s, developing nations have increasingly modeled their universities after the American higher education model. And the reason is quite simple. The American university, the modern American university, has proved enormously successful at generating the kind of scientific research and technological insight that is so important to generating economic growth today. So if a nation like in China or in India, where Microsoft and Intel are establishing enormous research centers, I mean, they want universities that create the kind of graduates that get hired in those research centers.
Chris, do you think this is a trend that the U.S. should celebrate and promote, or is it more of a cause for concern?
First, let's celebrate it. The world is getting more educated. That means we're going to get more innovation. We're going to get more technological advances, more ideas, and it's good for global economic growth. And it is something to truly celebrate. Now, in terms of the U.S., you know, our university structure is really under assault. For the past 25 years, state and local governments have been decreasing their support of higher education once you adjust for inflation. Now, there are a number of reasons for that. Some of them are quite good. Nevertheless, higher education, the development of human capital, that economic term that sort of captures skill and knowledge and advances in ideas, we're really hurting ourselves by not funding our universities better.
Chris Farrell's economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Layoffs, losses, falling.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.